From the Bleak Barren tarmac of University Avenue here in St. Paul. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that got pulled over. I'm back.
What happened there, pal?
Well, you know, I got a ticket.
Yeah, but why'd you disconnect me?
The cop told me to hang up the phone.
Well, they can't make you do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he got mad because, I was on the phone. And then he told me to step out and he patted me down, and you know the real goofy thing is to search your vehicle, aren't they supposed to have your permission?
Which town were you in?
Maplewood.
I don't know the rules out there. Maplewood may be a whole different deal. I know in St. Paul they're reasonable. In Minneapolis, I'm surprised you weren't scalped. I don't know what the deal is. I know in St. Paul they treat you nicely. I've always been happy, and I've been arrested often. They've always been good to me.
Oh, man, this guy, I kind of argued with him. I was like, the light was yellow, and he's like, no, I said it was red, and I was like, no. And he says, well, who writes the laws? And he got really mad, because I go, well, neither me or you. And told me to get back in my vehicle, and he goes, I'll be back. And then he gave me a ticket, and I think I got a ticket just because I was cocky with him, you know.
Yeah, well, was he a skinhead? A lot of these cops are skinheads now. You want to watch out for the guys that shave their heads. Used to be they were reasonable guys, you know. I mean, this town, I know in St. Paul, boy, best police department in the world, you used to run into these guys who were just, they're just guys who grew up in the neighborhood, you know, and you knew if you did wrong. And you knew if you didn't, and they knew, and it was, you just agreed on it, and you didn't hassle them, and they didn't hassle you, and that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, it's just supposed to be an arrangement. If you screw up, you know, you don't get cocky, and you do what they tell you, and if you don't screw up, then you have a leg to stand on. But I don't know, I've always found in my city that they're the kind of guys who seem like they could be your neighbor, and when it gets too weird, and I think it gets weird when you get these guys who live in the suburbs and come in just to run your town and then go back to their little bedroom communities, it gets a little odd. And then this black glove thing, I don't know what to get. Sometimes you see these cops wearing black gloves. Those are usually the guys shaving their heads. I don't know. It's like when a 14-year-old gets a batting glove. You want to say, come on, buddy. This is embarrassing. Use your hands.
This guy was really young.
Yeah.
And
he probably, see, I went to a military high school, and a lot of the guys I went to school with were frustrated that they didn't get to join the Marines, so they became cops. You want to watch out for those guys. What'd you do wrong?
I ran the light.
Well, you probably did.
But it was yellow.
Well, who knows?
Because, you know, yeah, as long as you're in the intersection.
Yeah.
You're good to go, right?
Could you have slowed down, though? Did you push it a little bit? Yeah. So, you know, it's a judgment call. The cop could be right, and you could be right, but the way that thing should be hashed out is you get the ticket, and if you want to take it to court, take it to court, but you don't want to you know, if it's a close call, you give the cop the benefit of the doubt. He's not obviously just harassing you for the hell of it in that instance.
Well, you know, I have been harassed in the past. Like the following. Why do cops have to do that? I'm sure you've been followed too, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I'm telling you, all my life, whatever a cop has done with me, I've had it coming. I just, I have. I'm a criminal. I'm a bad guy, and they've always known that, and, you know,
I don't sound like a bad guy.
No, I am. You know, I do a lot of illegal things, and they catch me, and it's okay. It's,
wow. You
know. And then when they catch me, it's, we agree, I'll go along willingly, and we go to court, and we go to jail, and have a nice time, talk about things on the way down. It's pleasant.
Yeah.
I just, I've always enjoyed being around him. Tim Lynch has arrested me many times. Talk to Tim. Who else has arrested me in St. Paul? Butch Swintek? He's not a cop anymore. No, I don't think he arrested me. Who else? Geyer. Geyer arrested me, I think, one time. He's retired, and I went to his retirement party after he arrested me.
What the heck?
Yeah.
How can you, after someone arrests you, you go to their party?
Well, they're decent guys. I've always liked the St. Paul cops. They, you know, they're just our neighbors and things. It's a nice arrangement. They're there to take care of us, and, you know, sometimes when they're having a slow day, you buy them a lemonade, talk to them, that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, man.
Hello. Hello, Gutton.
Yo, how are you tonight?
Good.
Good. You keep asking people what they want, what's important on their deathbed, you know?
Sorry about that. What's important on your deathbed?
Well, I think, you know, of all people, you should know the answer. It's the music that's got us through everything in life. Everything, whether it be death or birth or anything that's happened in life, you relate from everything from John Prine to Chuck Berry. And it's just, on my deathbed, I want somebody to put some headsets on me, and I just want to remember everything of my life with music.
So,
you know?
So given that there are probably more songs than you can hear in that final 24 hours, What ideally would be the first couple, three songs you'd want to hear, given the fact that you could pass at any time during those songs?
Whoa. Right now, my first answer would be John Prine. Anything John Prine put it on.
Anything by John.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. I'm comfortable with that myself.
Yeah. I think he could take you out real nice.
Spanish Pipe Dream?
That... Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm just throwing out a tune. Maybe that would be a good one.
Or Linda Goes to Mars. I mean, it,
sure. Yeah.
You know, whatever. But it's just the music. The thank God for songwriters, because you know, they say all the things that people that don't get into
that is
want
a
to say.
Yeah, that is a powerful endorsement of singer songwriters. That is an extraordinary nod to the importance of music.
Yes, it is, and yeah. I really think that the. I pity the poor people that don't go through life without relating all of the things that happened to them with some song or some music that you know, you get through.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't think enough people think about that, particularly in hospice situations, providing music for those people at the end that they most related to in life. I think that'd be a wise way to go out with a nice Bose acoustic wave stereo system and playing their favorite songs.
Exactly. I've told my children, if for some reason I ever got put in a coma or in a hospital, put my headsets on and
play
blow some Chuck Berry through.
All right. Thanks, Gotten. That's a good point.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.